Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The Gospel of the Lord. There is a moment at any great occasion when the waiting is over and the thing we've been waiting for is suddenly here. But the moment itself is easy to miss. In fact, I think it's one of those things that you can only recognize once it's already happened, sort of like you can only know where an electron is after it's not there anymore. Even at a birth, the moment of expecting, of laboring, suddenly becomes the moment of new life in the room. All of a sudden, what we anticipated is here, ready or not. Eventually, we're just as ready as we're going to be. This season of the year always reminds me of that truth in usually quite humbling ways. My list, personally, I don't know about yours, mine is still miles long, and there is no way it's all getting done. I don't know if any of you are Downton Abbey fans. Sorry if you're not. I was one of those people who was delighted about the movie that came out this year to get to journey back to that place one more time. In that noble household in England in the early 20th century, there were these people whose whole working lives were dedicated, whether this was a good system or not, to making this great house ready for important things that would happen there. But I'm just me. No footmen or ladies' maids. Just me with my family of helpers. I don't know if anyone else in the room is more like that. When important things are going to happen in my life, every inch is not dusted and shining. There are bags of junk shoved in the closet or the room I think my company is the least likely to go into. This year we got a sort of especially rude reminder that we won't ever be really ready in the way I wish we would be. Last Friday night, the one of our dogs who is more, shall we say, inclined towards hostility to unfamiliar furry guests, found and confronted a furry backyard visitor of an especially smelly variety. And there is basically no chance, apart from a Christmas miracle, that I'm going to reclaim my house from its skunking before my family gets here. A manicure and an organized pantry seem like luxuries that belong to entirely different kinds of people. Now, I just want to smell normal again. And so I apologize in advance also if I brought any of those smells with me tonight. I tried really, really hard not to. But again, the bar is exactly that low this year. And you know what? It's Christmas. No Grinch or Scrooge or skunk or imperfectly cleaned house gets in the way. God is too determined to be close to us to be stopped by anything like that. And of course, if we think about it, it makes sense because that's how love is. It doesn't wait to come over until you've done the laundry or made the bed. It doesn't wait until you've achieved some ideal version of yourself. Love is crazy about you just the way you are. God didn't come to this earth, to this life, to live with us in hopes that if God said they were coming, we would get our act together and fix our mess in time for God to get here. It's not the Queen visiting Downton Abbey. God comes to earth because God saw us sitting on the living room floor crying while we randomly sprayed Febreze in various directions. Because God wanted to help. God wanted to be with us. I mean, you know, figuratively speaking, but also truly with us in the middle of our mess. You don't have to be as ready as you think you should be. You don't have to be a different version of yourself. Christmas is here. God is here. Because God wants to be here with you right now, no matter what isn't done yet. So I'm wondering if you'll join me in a little experiment in grace this year. If you are one of those folks who still has a to-do list a mile long, just think, I'm sorry, but think for a second about just the first five things on it that you can remember. And just cross one off. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because you don't have to make Christmas happen. Stay safe, of course. Take your medicine. Reach out if you need support. Be well. But otherwise, it's all extra. There are so many stories that we hear and internalize about who we're supposed to be. It's hard to unlearn that message of not enough, of not doing enough or being enough to be worthy of attention or love. But today, God comes close to say that we are enough and more than enough. We are enough to be close to God, enough to be part of God's work in this world. Not once we have our act together, but right now. The Christmas story isn't actually amazing because of how extraordinary it is. We make a big fuss about angel choirs, a virgin birth, a baby in a feed trough. But the truth is, what is extraordinary about this story is how ordinary everyone in it is. God was born. God was born in an ordinary, forgettable place to ordinary, unimportant people, and ordinary, smelly shepherds heard about it and came and see and then went and told people what had happened. God was born the way we are born. God became one of us, became truly Emmanuel, God with us. And it was shockingly ordinary. God's gift is being present to us in our ordinariness, Not just when the music is beautifully rehearsed and the lighting carefully choreographed. God will be right there when the junk that's hidden in the closets has spread itself back all over the house again, when we come on an ordinary Sunday morning and it's just a little less sparkly or special. And that's how gifts work, after all. They're not things we earn by being put together, but things that we are given in love. Maybe you've gotten enough gifts that aren't really gifts over time that it's hard to trust in the real giftedness of things. One of my favorite TV shows has a scene where one character brings another character a latte and then proceeds pretty quickly to ask for a favor, and the character holding the latte just kind of looks down at the cup and squints a little bit and says, "Oh, would you look at that? There was a string attached to my latte." And he wasn't wrong, of course. It was more of a bribe than a gift. Sometimes we get gifts with too many strings attached, and they become burdens. And sometimes people don't even mean gifts that way, but we still worry. It's something in us. We worry about what's expected in response. My huge anxiety is around thank you notes. I'm horrible about them. I don't write them hardly ever at all, and I feel like I should, and I even want to, and then I don't. I'm sure I could work on that in therapy for a good long while. It probably means a lot of things, and I should do that work. But I also remember distinctly a conversation I had with someone who had given me just a lovely, perfect kind of gift, and I said thank you again, and sort of shamefully confessed that I had meant to write a note, and I just never seemed to manage to do that. And she just said, "Oh gosh, neither do I. I don't need you to write a note. I'm just glad you like it." And she really was. And I could really tell. And I almost cried. I was so relieved that she just believed in my gratitude and didn't resent that I didn't express it a certain way. Sometimes when you realize a gift is really a gift, it kind of knocks you back, you know? Like, you won't be mad if I don't give you something just as good back? Or if I don't say thank you in just the right way that's worthy of this thing you did for me? You just gave it to me because you love me and thought I'd like it? That I needed it? Wow. God's gifts are like that. That's what we mean by that churchy word, grace. We don't get there often enough. We don't feel it deeply often enough, but that's what we mean. No strings attached, not a bribe, just love. God loves us so much. God loves you so much that love has come all the way down. Love is the first gift tonight. And Christ is born. Merry Christmas. Amen.